This is Dave Doggett, and you're listening to the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast, Episode 9. All right, thanks for joining me today for another episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast. And today I've got a good friend of mine, Lewis Hinks, who is, I've actually got him in studio, the first time I've had anybody in here with me, so I'm a little nervous being watched, actually.
Do a good job.
Yeah, thanks. So Lewis is Director of Programs for ASF in Nova Scotia. And in his spare time, he's one of only 11 Master Certified fly casting instructors in all of Canada. So I'm going to have him back on another episode or two for sure. And we'll be talking fly casting and techniques and all that jazz. So, but for today we are, going to be a little more serious with regards to the aquaculture issue, ongoing here in not just Nova Scotia, but New Brunswick and also Newfoundland now. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and also, if anybody wants to get in touch with Lewis after or anytime, I'll have a link in the show notes of this episode. So it'll be at maritimeoutdoorsman.com/009. I know, you know, the aquaculture issue's been going on for quite a while now. What is there headway being made? What's, you know, with regards to government, I guess there was an article out last week, something related to the government has got a committee formed, is that right?
Yeah, you know, as you know, Dave, the aquaculture issue is a major problem for wild Atlantic salmon, a major problem for coastal communities, for traditional fisheries, for lobster issues. And ASF is very much concerned about aquaculture, specifically open net pen aquaculture, the big pensies,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dotted along the coastline. And we've been trying to raise the issue and raise the awareness among government, put pressure on them to make changes in the industry to further protect salmon. And for your listeners who may not be aware, and most of your listeners, I'm sure, are fully aware of the issues, but just to quickly try to summarize,
mm-hmm.
You know, there are a bunch of issues, but the main ones affecting wild Atlantic salmon are the issue of escapes. These things leak fish. They either mm-hmm. leak fish in big bunches or leak fish a little bit at a time, but these things leak fish.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, you've got an issue of disease transfer, and we have heard a lot about ISA in the news in the last year, especially here in Nova Scotia,
mm-hmm.
but also in New Brunswick, on the West Coast, in Scotland, and Norway, everywhere. So there's these ISA disease issues. And also the issue of parasites. And the way I like to tell people or compare it is, you know, you have two small kids, one's in school. Basically, if a kid in a classroom in an elementary school
mm-hmm.
gets a cold,
yeah.
everybody gets the cold, and then they bring it home. And mm-hmm. and that's essentially how diseases and parasites are transferred.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you have a happy medium for the disease or the parasite in these cages with, you know, a million fish or half
mm-hmm.
a million fish or 200,000, doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
the number.
Mm-hmm.
Disease takes off, anything swims by, they swim through this basic cloud of viruses or cloud of sea lice. And get infected, and then,
mm-hmm.
and if the fish is weakened for whatever reason, then it has a tendency to have a dramatic impact on wild fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know these things leak fish. I mean, in 2010, it was, if I remember correctly, the estimate was around 230,000 fish reported escaped in the Bay of Fundy.
Yeah,
that's five times what was traditionally the wild fish returns
mm-hmm.
for the Bay of Fundy rivers.
Yeah,
so. So anyway, we've been putting a ton of pressure on those who live in Nova Scotia and get the Chronicle Herald have probably seen the ads from ASF on a monthly basis
mm-hmm.
or every few weeks now. And government on the 1st of June announced a committee of
mm-hmm.
scientists and experts and community members to take a look at what's going on with aquaculture. How can we redo this industry in Nova Scotia in a way that would
mm-hmm.
be acceptable to everybody? To have reduce the impacts that we've seen and be done in a way that's much more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So
they agreed to do that.
They agreed to the committee set mm-hmm. up, and in fact, Carl Purcell, who's past president of the Nova Scotia Salmon Association, a real avid advocate against aquaculture is on that committee. Awesome. So I'm very pleased to hear that.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, because, I mean, at least for the last couple of years, there's been a lot of pressure on government to do something. We had that, I forget what that rally was called, but...
We had the press conference last June,
Right, yeah, and so it's good that, you know, at least something, it seems like they're listening to some degree. Now, why do we, I guess the big question is, why do we allow this kind of thing to even happen here when there's other countries that have already gone through this and said, no, it's never going to happen here again?
You know, that's a question we ask ourselves all the time. You think you would learn from other... I mean, I jokingly tell people that, you know, they say, well, you can't prove that the industry, because it's not the same here. It's not the same in Nova Scotia as it is in Norway. Things are different here. And, you know, I jokingly say, yeah, and gravity doesn't work the same here either.
Yeah.
Right? The problems in Norway, the problems on the West Coast of Canada, the problems in Scotland, I mean, they're showing themselves here. So why... I believe that government is so desperate to create jobs.
Yeah, I think that's that,
that they've been dangled a carrot by the industry and they jump for it.
Yeah.
And they believe hook, line, and sinker, pardon the print, that this is going to be the savior for rural economies. And really, if you look at the economics of it, it's not. I mean, there's not a lot of good paying jobs. I mean, they think they're going to keep people out of the oil patch by paying the minimum wage jobs here. No, it's not. I mean, Cook has already seen the problem. They have to hire people from outside of Canada to work in their plants because locals won't do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully, I mean, there is some progress being made with regards to land-based operations. Is the industry entertaining any of those ideas, or is it still, you know, an uphill battle?
Well, it's an uphill battle for a lot of the traditional industries, like traditional aquaculture, like Cook, for example. Yeah. I keep picking on Cook, but Cook and those like Cook, who are seeing massive returns on their investment, you know, 51% return on their investment. Yeah. And they're probably not going to get that big a return on land-based.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, we are seeing companies such as Sustainable Blue here in Nova Scotia, and the Arctic Char farm that's being run in Millbrook in Truro, and ASF has partnered with the Conservation Fund Freshwater Institute in West Virginia to perfect the technology to grow fish, and we're very successful. I mean, the taste tests have been... Chefs, world-class chefs, have raved about the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it at all of our dinners. You had some at one of our dinners.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so the other thing that's driving the market is you've got to go at this issue from a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, show government the error of their ways and try to get them to change.
Yeah.
And the other way is to get the consumer to demand it
and
educate the consumer that what the stuff that they're eating now that's growing in the marine open net pen, system, is probably not the best thing for them to be purchasing for a number of reasons: health, their own personal health, for the environment, and all those fun things.
Yeah.
So, you know, once the consumer starts demanding it and asking for it, then industry, being industry, will leap into that open spot and fill it.
Exactly. Well, it seems like there's more and more people that are environmentally conscious and friendly nowadays.
And people are looking for, you know, more and more people are asking for, you know, is what I'm eating good for our planet?
Sort of green.
Yeah. Green. Is it sustainable? Can we continue to do this the way we're doing it?
Yeah.
You know, and my wife and I mean, we love salmon. We always have. And we don't buy anymore unless we buy. And we finally found a couple of sources of sustainably caught Pacific salmon, and we enjoy that by times, or when I can sneak some of the other stuff home.
yeah, exactly. I know my wife's none too happy with me, but she does understand the whole idea. Yeah, we haven't bought any farm salmon for several years now, at least.
Good man.
But it creates a few jobs, but it just seems like it's being blown out of proportion a bit. So our wild stocks, they're essentially on the decline.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's been terrible here since, what, in the 90s?
Yeah, I guess the last, I don't know when the last really good year was here, but since the mid-90s, you know, on the Eastern mm-hmm. Shore and the South Shore, particularly here, yeah. here in Bridgewater and La Have, I mean, the fishery's been shut down for
a number of years.
I can't remember how long now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got a number of issues. We have a depressed stock that's now been assessed as endangered by Kosiwik mm-hmm. and going through the process of being declared endangered by the Species at Risk Act. And whether or not it makes it to that, we're not sure, but
right.
it's going through that process. So, and through all the meetings, the week-long meetings on these, you know, what are called recovery potential assessments, mm-hmm. you're looking at all the data and where are we with the stock? What is the potential recovery? What are the threats? Aquaculture was identified as one of the big threats.
Hmm. So who actually identified that?
DFO.
DFO. Yeah, that's interesting.
that's an issue within in-house too, I'm sure.
It's
quite a head scratcher for all of us.
Yeah, it really is. Well, hopefully in the next, you know, year or two, you know, some kind of headway is made. It is good to see what places like Sustainable Blue have done with other species, and I heard that they're pretty confident about being able to do it with Atlantic salmon as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. They've sourced some smolt. They've got a crop growing now, and mm-hmm. their methodology and their facility is just world class.
Yeah, I've heard it.
And if anybody can get a tour there, I mm-hmm. encourage them to go see it because it's a real eye opener.
Mm-hmm.
The waste that comes out of this thing, I mean, all the manure that comes out of the farm is dried, and there's an organic farmer
yep.
nearby that gobbles it up and takes it and puts it on his crops.
Nice.
You know? And that's the other thing. I mean, it's with the current industry, I mean, they don't pay the true cost of production
mm-hmm.
because all the waste, all the food that's not
right.
eaten, all the medicine that's not absorbed, and all the waste from the thing lands on the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly.
And that's a public resource. That's
right.
mine belongs to me and you and everybody else
that's
in Nova
right.
Scotia.
Yeah.
And we end up paying the true cost mm-hmm. of production because of the polluted harbors.
Right. Yeah. And there's no cleanup ever
there's no
been
cleanup.
Done.
And I don't know of any other farm.
No.
That's allowed to just take the manure and throw it out in the environment and say, here you go, have fun with it.
Yeah, imagine if you or I, you know, decided that we were going to do that and just...
Run an open sewer down to the river here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
See what happens.
See how far you get with that one.
But this is what's currently permitted in the industry. And to clarify, you know, this whole issue is specifically open net pen... Finfish farming issues because of this open net pen issue. Everything has a way of getting out, and you get a big storm goes up by, which has happened numerous times, and all of a sudden there's
your river's full of rainbow trout.
River's full of rainbows, or you know, there's farm salmon around, and
exactly.
it's kind of a
now,
mess.
To clarify, I mean ASF and all the groups that are up in this issue, we're not opposed to aquaculture,
mm-hmm.
and then we've been misinterpreted as saying that.
Right,
we are not opposed to aquaculture. In fact, we ASF many years ago helped start the industry.
Yes,
because we believed at the time that would take pressure off wild stocks, which it did.
Mm-hmm.
But you go with the best information you have mm-hmm. at the time. I mean, I maybe it's a poor example, but I tell what I can compare it to is. You know, at one time we used to recommend thalidomide to pregnant women for morning sickness.
Yeah.
Well, you know how that worked out,
yeah.
right? And also we used to spray DDT all over the place. I mean,
exactly.
Like, you went with the best information at the time, but then you changed as you learned.
Well, you learned from your mistakes.
Exactly. And we don't seem to be doing that.
No, there seems to be an awful lot of mistakes, and they've been pointed out pretty evidently to the powers. But anyway, I guess it's...
You know, Dave, we've asked the industry. The industry constantly tells us, "Oh, there's all kinds of science to say that there's no problem with their industry. We've got lots of science to back it up. Government has said that to us. We've heard them say it publicly and in mm-hmm. media. We've asked for it. We've said, you know, you can shut us up in a hurry if you just present the information you have. Show us what you have that says it's not a problem.
Right.
And we'll walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Nada. Haven't seen a thing. Right? Meanwhile, we walk in every meeting with a new report showing that this is the impacts on wild fish. This is the impacts on the environment.
Yeah.
This is the impacts on this. They might as well talk to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
seem to. They dismiss it. They just.
But they don't have any contradictory.
No.
Proof, scientific.
And it's not like we woke up one morning saying, you know, we got nothing better to do today. I think we'll attack the aquaculture industry.
I mean, yeah.
It's not. I mean, no. I've got lots of issues on my plate that mm-hmm. need to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
and this has virtually occupied most of my time for the last year and a half.
Right. Yeah. So. Exactly. No, it is kind of interesting how they I've heard, you know, they keep claiming they've got this scientific proof, but yet it's never come out. So that kind of speaks volumes in itself.
I think so. I mean, as I said to other people, I mean, if they had the information, they would have shoved it down my throat a year ago.
That would have shut up Lewis Hinks pretty quick.
Right.
So, yeah, needless to say, there probably isn't that information out there. No. I mean, it's obvious that there isn't. So hopefully this is a baby step, this recent committee. Maybe they'll start listening to this committee.
Well, some of the encouraging things that came out of the announcement were, you know, depending on when the recommendations come in, if they're accepted by government, which mm-hmm. we would hope they would, but you never know.
Yeah.
Some things, there'll be no, there's no new license that's going to be granted mm-hmm. while this process is ongoing. So that kind of, while it's not a true moratorium because applications yeah. can still go through the process, they just won't get their license. So there's kind of a moratorium in place, or at least a hold on the, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All firms, including existing firms, will have to abide by the new regs according to what the minister said. So if somebody's been occupying a bay doing work business in a certain way, according to what I interpreted the minister saying at the announcement,
mm-hmm.
they will have to then so there's some good things mm-hmm. there. Now we just hope that the committee can, you know, really is an arm's length to government and can come up with something that will satisfy us all.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Currently, I mean, and I'm not so struck on making sure that it is land-based only, although to answer all of our concerns, land-based works.
That's the solution.
That's what it's done.
Yeah.
But if some bright spark can come up with an idea mm-hmm. for a marine-based farm that answers all our issues on escapes, disease transfers, parasite transfers, polluting the bottom. Yeah, it's an issue. It's maybe not as big an issue for wild Atlantic salmon because they swim through it.
Right.
But it is an issue. But if they can answer all those questions and figure out a way to do it, then we've got an obligation to look at it.
Right? Sure. Yeah. So. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, well, I mean, at least there's at this given time, there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
I think so,
And so that sounds good. So
stay tuned.
Awesome. Let's you know, maybe we'll, depending on how things go, we'll have to have you back for another follow-up episode.
But, absolutely.
But anyway, thanks for stopping by the studio and having a little chat today, and I appreciate it. Like I say, if anybody wants to reach out to Lewis, you can do so. Just check the links in the show notes. So thanks, Lewis, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk soon.
You bet.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. That wraps up this episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman podcast, which again can be found at maritimeoutdoorsman.com/009. Until next time. Stay safe in the great outdoors. Tight lines. Happy hunting. See you next time.